We can't be Christians that has this mindset that we're never going to face anything. We're never going to have to go through troubles. That troubles is not going to arise at times in our life. We got to be a people that Jesus said it in John 16:33. He said, in this world you will face trouble, tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now it's not a matter of when trouble comes. Jesus said it. And so I looked at that one time when I didn't understand why I was being persecuted because I was trying to serve Jesus at work. I didn't understand why I was being persecuted at home, you know, at different times. We were just baby Christians, you know. But I read the scripture, put it up there, Beth, please. John 16:33, Jesus, this is in red letters. We just couldn't put it up red letters. It says, these things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. Trouble's going to come. He said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Now, he said, I speak these things to you so that when trouble comes, that you have peace. He said, I'm speaking these things to you to let you know that when trouble does come to your house, that you can have inner peace. You can have peace knowing that you're going to have things come against you, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus said, in me you have life. Hallelujah. And so the enemy, he tries to take advantage of troubles that come into our life. Hallelujah. There's going to be, he'll come to you and tell you, well, if you was a better Christian, you wouldn't be having these troubles. Well, if you'd made different decisions, you wouldn't. That's okay, even if it was bad decisions, even if it was mistakes, even if it was. He's trying to get you not to lean on Jesus. He's trying to get you to lean to your own understanding, to get in your own strength. But we are in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. We're not down here in this life walking alone. The Bible says that He is in us. He is with us. Christ in me and you, the hope of glory. If you've been born again, then you have the same Spirit in you, according to Romans 8 over there, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I don't care if you feel defeated. Satan's going to make you try to feel defeated. You even condemn your own self at times. You can condemn your own self. Well, if I read more. Well, if I prayed more. Well, if I was more obedient to the Lord. These things bring condemnation when they're coming from you or the enemy. Now, if they're coming from God, there will be peace. There will be an inspiration for you to do whatever the enemy's trying to get you. If it's the enemy, it makes you feel condemned, worthless, can't do it. No inspiration to do it. How many knows the only way you can be a doer is to be in His strength? Because when trouble comes, and it will come, hallelujah. You know, we can't be Christians that we're going to serve Jesus as long as no trouble is at my house. We're going to serve Jesus as long as everything is going like we planned. You know, no, we can't be that minded in our life because setbacks happen. And I mean, the curveballs happen and we got to deal with people that make choices. Some of the troubles that comes into our life at times is because other people are in our lives. But we can't get our mind on to other people and start blaming them for the reason why we can't have victory. Why? Because He said that He's done overcome the world. And we know the Scripture. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Although they may be yielding to the enemy, but they are not your enemy. They are not my enemy. And we got to stay out of that battle. That battle belongs to the Lord. The Bible says for me and you to stand still, stay focused. Stay focused on Him, stand still, and we will see. He told them, He said, stand still. This battle don't belong to you. He said, this battle belongs to the Lord. He said, now you stand still and see the salvation of God. And that word is still for us today. We got to stand on the promises of God. That's standing, that is trusting in Him. We got to stand on God's promise. Well, I don't know what the promises are. What? Well, you've got to get your Bible. You need to go to the Bible. Facebook ain't going to cause you to meditate on God's Word. I mean, I'm glad everybody posts a little thought every now and then on Facebook, but I find that my meditation in the Lord is where my strength comes from Him. That is where my mind is renewed. That is where my mind is refreshed. The things that I've learned over the last 30 years. See, faith don't come by what I heard back yonder in 1995 necessarily. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the Word of God. That means that yesterday's manna is not good enough for today's walk. We got to have fresh manna from heaven. And that comes by spending time with Him, because some troubles are designed, allowed, praise God, by the Lord, to cause us to be strengthened. I mean, when God's wanting me to save money, hardship comes financially, He says, save money. And I'll be like, I ain't got none. I ain't got no money, God. God, if you'd give me some money, I would save some money. That's what I told Him, man. Well, God, if you'd give me more than what I need here to pay my bills, I'd save some money. He said, no. He said, you got to save while you ain't got enough. See, that trouble was God. And you know what? I thought, well, glory to God, I can save $5 a week. $5 a week. See, I took the troubles that I was in, Johnny, and I listened to the Lord. See, there comes the counselor in times when it don't seem like God ought to be asking us to do something that we can't do. See, that's where grace comes in. That grace is God's ability to do what we can't do in ourselves. That's what God's grace is. I know God's grace is God's unmerited favor, but it's also the divine inspiration upon the heart of man. It is supernatural inspiration on the heart of man. Hallelujah. That is why I used to go around saying, we're aliens, like E.T., you know, aliens. Well, we are aliens, the Bible says. It don't say we're weirdos, though. Bible don't say nothing about being weirdos. But you know, I used to go around saying that and get on some people's nerves, and I was making fun with it, you know. But the Bible says that we're aliens in this earth. This is not our home. We're passing through. But Jesus told us in the gospel, He said, but occupy. He'd give them talents. And He said, He'd give us that parable where you went into a far country. And then He come back and he give them talents and told them, you know, to go multiply. He said, occupy till I come. Put things to work, in other words, is what He was saying. He was saying, don't quit believing me. Do you expect me to come back? I believe Jesus is coming back. I believe He's coming back, and I believe it's going to be soon. No man knows the hour, but you can feel it in the air that darkness is just, I mean, in demonic spirits. But the Bible says it's going to happen. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, our job, our duty, when trouble comes, is not to yield the wrong way and get in a wrong spirit and get in discouragement and get, you know, quit. Quit believing. We can't do that. Give me that Proverbs, Beth, please. I think that's my next one. Yeah, there it is. This is Proverbs 24:10. And God, I hadn't been saved but about 3 or 4 months. Maybe. In every trial that come, I was failing it. I mean, it seemed like every one of them. It seemed like every trial, it seemed like every time I would try to go forward in Jesus, trouble would come to me. And I had this thought one day, what's the use? Man, I'm just trying to serve God. I'm just trying to have a good life and all that. And so I'm reading one day, one chapter of Proverbs a day, because I'd heard that Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, was God's was a book of wisdom. And so I got down to this one right here about 29 and a half years ago, I guess. And God, and this is what he said, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. See, if you continue to be roller coaster Christian, you know what that means? That means you come in here, you hear a good fired up anointed sermon like I've got tonight by the Holy Spirit. You get all fired up on the inside and you're like, glory to God, I'm going to go out and conquer. I'm going to go out, you know, and then you get out there and then the trial hits and then you get discouraged. You give it up till the next service. See, your strength is small. And when I read that, you know, I thought, well, I'm just weak, God. He said, don't discourage yourself with that scripture. He said, fortify yourself. I mean, what was that Monty said that impacted his life that Teresa said? That you are the greatest investment you can make. You are. You got to invest inside. Greater's he that is in you than he that is in this world. Just like we go and we operate in this natural realm and we go put money in the bank to make withdrawals when we need it, we know it's there. The same way when we spend time with God and in God's Word, we're making deposits. When we listen to sermons and we're not listening to anything else in the daytime, we put our earplugs in, we're not listening to Rock 99 or WZZK or whatever the case might be, but we're listening to sermons or we're listening to praise and worship music that is lifting up Jesus. Now we're making those deposits, and it is the greatest thing that we could ever do after we're born again is make deposits of the things of the kingdom of God into our life, that in the times of adversity, we won't be weak. We won't. We're feeding on Him. We're plugged in. He says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is weak. And that gives you wisdom. You know what? You know what? Knowledge comes from the Bible. But God said if we lack wisdom in James, to ask Him. And He would give it to us generously, and He wouldn't hold back, didn't He? Now, I believe what He says, don't you? I believe if I asked Him for wisdom, bless God, I'm going to get it right then, and I don't even have to know I got it. Well, knowledge is the Bible. Wisdom is knowing how to apply knowledge. Just like the Lord telling me, I'm reading the Bible, and I hadn't been saved very long, and I read, it says, love your enemies. And I went, I shut the Bible. And I said, I don't like that. I told Teresa, I don't like that. What? Love your enemies. I said, love my enemies. I mean, they was people that I concrete hated on this planet, concrete. That I had plans of bringing destruction somehow to their life in the latter years as time went on. And so that bothered me. That bothered me, and I thought, man, I didn't sign up for this. Now I can't get vengeance. I didn't even know the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. All I know is that Bible said, love your enemies. And that every time I would go to God, see, now the trouble, I mean, He's trying to deliver me from trouble. He's trying to deliver me from anger and hatred and resentment and holding on to grudges and plotting evil. I didn't know it. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, God knows the thoughts, the plans that He has for each one of us, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not evil, that give you hope for a future, that you would have a future and a hope and a good one. And so I says, okay, Lord. I said, I don't know how to do it. And I thought about the scripture over there in the book of James. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving myself. And I thought, well, I don't know how to do it. He said, just embrace my word. Accept my word. He said, accept it. See, I was trying to do what the word said in me without him. My understanding, I didn't understand. And so when I embraced that word, I said, okay, I'm going to love my enemy. And I went around, I meditated on that, praise God, and I went around saying to myself, I love my enemies, Lord. Your word says, love my enemies, and I can do it, Lord. I can do all things through you who strengthen me. The very one that I hated the most on this planet, I got to pray for and was healed with cancer. A miracle in my life. A miracle. I thought this word so transforms a person. I'm not just telling you my story. I'm telling you what this Bible does. That's why I am a word student. That's why I think the word. That's why I meditate on the word. I call the word out in my life all the time. I call myself blessed when nobody's around. I don't have to be at church. I'm praising the Lord when nobody's in the truck with me. I'm giving him glory. I'm giving him thanks for where he's brought me from and what little bit of wisdom that I do have. See, you ain't got to have the congregation to grow and get your strength strong. Give me that other one, Beth. I think it's 2 Timothy 1, I think, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God's not give us a spirit of timidity and cowardness. That's what fear means. If you study that word in the Greek, it means timid. It means cowardness. It means draw back, to shrivel up, not to do anything. But he said, he's give us power, right? Well, if you got power, I don't feel like it. Well, now you're going to have to get out of that feeling stuff. There's a difference in feeling and believing. Believing don't have to feel. Believing's a choice. Believing's not a feeling. Feelings might come. You might have feelings when you are in it, but believing is not feeling. Believing is not seeing. Thomas, you proved us that. And he let him see and stick his thing. But he said, but blessed are those that believe and cannot see. Blessed are those that believe they have wisdom and can't see it yet. Blessed are those that believe they love their enemies. See, now fear will tell you they'll take advantage of you. Things, you know, I mean, Satan will give you fear when trouble comes into your life, and he'll give you an image of what it'll do if it don't stop. What's he doing that for? He's doing that so you will be fearful, so that you will be timid, so that you won't boldly. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. It don't say they're mean as a snake and arrogant. I've been there and done that as a Christian. You know, smart aleck Christian. You know, we're not supposed to be smart aleck Christians. Jesus said, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, learn how I am. He said, and you will find rest for your weary soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. The soul is made up of three parts: mind, will, and emotions. He said, if we'll learn how he is, he said, I'm meek and lowly in heart, didn't he? He didn't say, I got a flame sword here. Now see, the fight of faith, you will be bold, but you won't in here be arrogant. People might think you're arrogant, but you won't be. You'll be in here, you're trusting God. And you know the battle, you know that you're in, that God's gonna bring you through and give you a breakthrough. You know, and some people take faith as arrogant. Well, I look at them, know it all, they got it all, they think they know everything. No, we know the Bible. We know what the Lord says. The Bible says in Romans 8, 28, he said, for we know, Christians know, you ought to know this. For we know that God works all things together for the good to those that love him and to those that are called according to his purpose. How many knows if you're born again, you were called according to the purpose of God? No man comes to the Father unless he is drawn. Right? So if you're born again, then you are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. And then in light of saying that, you got to know now that no matter what troubles in your life, he works all things together for the good. He works it all together for the good. But see, we can't be Christians that go through things and say, why me, Lord? Why do I have to go through this? I haven't done nothing to deserve this. You got to stay out of that arena of doubt and unbelief. That's what they did in the wilderness. God goes over there and they're in bondage, you know, to Pharaoh down there. And they're slaves and everything. And he sends Moses down there. See, some of us are Moseses. We stutter. We ain't got it together. Men, Teresa will be the first to tell you, we don't even know what we're doing here other than following God. God told us to come here and told us to pastor here. And that's all we knew. So we come, and here we are 21 years later, and I still don't know how to do it. I mean, when I go to seeking the Lord for a sermon, I got all them notebooks. I can drag all those notebooks out, you know, but I can't come up with a sermon that I've preached under the anointing before. Why? Because it's not what he's saying. So I can't even do this without him. But I find it really relaxing to depend on the Lord. I find it really peaceful when I am really depending on the Lord. It don't change the trouble. There ain't none of us. I don't know anybody that loves trouble. Anybody love trouble? I didn't think we had no liars in here. No. That's the last thing I want is trouble. But you know what? I've got this motto on the inside that I got from a spiritual giant back under. His name was Reverend R.W. Schambach. And he said it over and over when I would listen to him. You ain't got no troubles. All you need is faith in God. And I sat in my living room, and I had all kinds of troubles at this time. And I thought to myself, this man don't know what he's saying. He don't know what I got going on in my life. How can he say that? But later on, when the more faith I got in God, the less the troubles bothered me. They were still there. Then I started realizing what the man said. So you ain't got no troubles today. All you need is faith in God. If you are weak spiritually, then that you can beef yourself up. Feed you some beef stew spiritually. I mean, then after that, do like you do, eat and get you a couple of desserts. Listen to a sermon afterwards. I go home and I listen to everybody that I like after service Sunday. I'll get my phone up and listen to this one, and then I'll listen to this one, and then I'll listen to this one, and then I'll take me a little nap. I eat after I leave here. I sure ain't going to turn Fox or CNN and none of them on. Eat on that stuff. Eat on that garbage. I ain't eating on this world. The Bible says, come out from among the world and be ye separate. I've heard Christians say, well, we got to keep up with what's going on. What's it going to change? Why don't you just pray for the world? Pray for Israel. Pray, you know. And we've had sermon after sermon here that we don't worry. I don't. If gray hair comes from worrying, Scotty Weston won't have no gray hair. That ought to be your thinking. Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Fear not. He said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you'll drink. Don't worry about what you'll put on. He talks about the birds of the field and the grass, how it toils, it spins. And it don't. I mean, I've never seen a bird up there saying, hey, here, man. Oh, we're running out of food, man. It's getting cold. I don't know what we're going to do. I've never heard that. I've never seen a bird fall down because it can't fly and get up like a skeleton and say, God's not real anymore. Right? I mean, they got plenty. God is their source. God's their supply. And he said, are we not worth more than that? I mean, don't worry about your house payment. The Lord asked me one time, he said, see, and people have said, Scotty, don't you care about anything? I said, I don't care. I said, you're not supposed to care. The cares of this world, the sheep choke, come in and choke the word out. What Jesus said. He said, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, come in and choke the word so that you got little strength, so that you got weak faith. There's different levels of faith in the Bible. Jesus said one time, where's your faith? Oh, you have little faith. Then one time he said, I've not seen such great faith in all Israel. And I said, read that and I thought, glory to God, we can go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. See, I told the Lord, I was pacing up and down the road. I do that, just praying over the service stuff at different times. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I thank you for your glory on us tonight. I thank you that your glory will be manifest. Now, I'm not looking for all y'all just to fall out and go, God, man, what happened? He's revealing his glory to you right now. He's imparting things into me and you right now that tomorrow we'll see things different. Tomorrow we'll walk different. Tomorrow we'll think different. Because the Bible says his word won't return void. I'm preaching the word. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm not giving you my experience. I'm telling you my experience with the word and what it did for me. And he is no respecter of persons. Whatever he does for one, it will do for the other. See, we all might be in different walks and different challenges and different troubles in our lives and all of that, but the Word is working the same fruit in our life, no matter where we are all at. The Word is bringing us to where we're going. The body is going to be one when Jesus comes. Because they're going to depend on him. And the more that we depend on the Lord, the more that we get strong in the Lord, the closer we come together because we will be like him, the Bible says. It says, it doth not appear what we are, but when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Not talking about one person. He's talking about the whole worldwide body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're just part of it. Over here. We don't know all their troubles, but over there and over there at that church and over there at that church. And I don't really concern myself too much with troubles of other people's church because I'm not going to be a busybody. I'm going to focus on where in the domain that God has me, and that's what you do. Whatever God's doing in your life. Give me that Psalms 1, Beth, please. I didn't have it. Okay, give me the 27. That one there is where David going through all kinds of stuff. And he had told the Lord, Lord, deliver me. Don't turn me over to the hands of my enemies, but deliver me, Lord. And then it goes on down in that psalm. In there, and this has been a revelation to me for a lot of years, you know, is David said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. David was facing battles in the natural. David was a warrior. But David was a man called a man after God's own heart. David was jacked up in some areas, you know. But David had a repentant heart. David had a heart that wanted God. David had a heart that loved God. David made a lot of mistakes, and God's people do. But that don't disqualify you. See, we have a greater covenant with God through Jesus than David had. We've got God's grace, and we've got God's mercy, and we've got his long-suffering, and And he wants us to be like him so that we're strong in battle. But David said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I read that and the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, you've got to believe that for yourself. He said, you've got to believe that for your life. Believe that for your business. Believe that for your ministry. Believe that for those in the jail. Believe that. I was going to jail and street ministry and different things at that time when he told me this. He said, believe to see my goodness in your home, in your marriage. Believe to see my goodness in your finances. Believe to see my goodness in your body. Believe to see, I mean, I needed it in my marriage more than I needed it in anything really. I told God I married the devil's daughter. That was her. I've only been married once. She was saved, but she was still a little hellion. You know, I was saved and I was still jacked up, you know. But the Lord told me, he said, believe to see my goodness in your marriage. Believe it. Believe to see. He told me, he said, she's not your problem. You're the problem. I thought, he don't know her like I do. There's no way God can know her like I do. How many times have you felt like that? You could do better. You could be better if it wasn't for other folk. See, but Jesus was telling me, I am the way, I am your truth, and I am your life. And if you follow me, I will work all these details. Ain't that what Romans said? He said, for we know that we work. I didn't know all that back then. I'm just saved. I mean, I'd heard a lot of things about God and different things like that, but I had never knew God. And the knowledge that I had was not heart stuff. It was head stuff. Now God was taking me from head knowledge to heart knowledge. He was taking me from knowledge to revelation. There's a difference. The Bible is written. I mean, it's written word. But Rhema word is when that Bible comes alive to you on the inside about something, that's when it becomes Rhema to you, real. That's when it becomes alive on the inside. And that revelation, that's what Jesus was telling Peter. He said, Who do they say I am? He said, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this one. He said, but Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter responded back because he had had revelation. He responded back to Jesus and he said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. Knowledge hadn't revealed that to you. Your head hadn't revealed that. Although I'm standing here and all of that, all the rest of them don't see me, who I am, but you do. And God's revealed that to you. When you have a revelation of victory in your life, know that God made it alive on the inside of you for a reason, so that you could get up and march, soldier into victory. He don't just show us things so we can sit down on the couch and, I'm tired of fighting. You're not in faith right there. See, faith don't, you can't burn faith out. You can't wear faith out. You can't kill faith. You can let it be took from you. The enemy steals, kills, and destroys. But he can't even come and take it unless you give it to him. You got to give it to him. You got to lay down your faith. You got to lay down that sword, that word of God. You got to lay it down and say it don't work. Or you got to, I mean, as long as you've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in Ephesians 6, that's how you do warfare. You take the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil, the Bible says. And I've had people to tell me, how do you have that kind of faith? I listen to the Bible. It's not hard. It's not complicated. Christians make it complicated sometimes. If we'll fast 40 days, if we'll, all of those dues don't get faith. You don't have to do anything to serve God. Faith makes you want to. You got to want to. The Bible, see, the want to is faith. And it's generated the want to through reading it. It says, love your enemies, and I shut it. See, that word made me want to. When I read that, I couldn't get away from that. Number one, I was real with Jesus. I want to know him. I'm all jacked up the floor up. I mean, I've been out in the world for 27, 28 years, doing whatever I wanted to do. Me and Teresa pretty much raised ourselves. Praise the Lord. We were just rebellious and all of that. And then God brings it in. How many knows God is not a God of chaos? God is a God of structure. God is a God that I mean, I told Travis today, I said, you know, I said, like Piggly Wiggly or somewhere. I said, they hire managers. I said, they'll hire managers. I said, they hire managers so they manage and keep things in place and keep things structured and all of that so that the store is not chaos. How many knows we're managers over the Word of God in our life? We got to keep faith on the right shelf. You know, I quit trying to figure out everybody's life, and I found the way Jesus was, and I found peace. As I look at some people's lives, and I'm like, what's wrong with them? Man, what is wrong with them? And one day God said, what are you trying to do, run the world? Everybody you come across, you got an opinion about them and what they do and what they don't do and all that. He said, that's killing you. He said, that's killing you spiritually. He said, you're over in an arena that I told you not to be a busybody in. He said, keep your mind off of people. Keep your mind, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, he said that love keeps no evil account of the evil done to it. See, when we're in our faith can't even work without love. Galatians 5:6 says, faith work which works by love. Faith is energized by our walk of love. And walk of love, see, that's when trouble comes. It's easy to love everybody when they're doing things in your favor and doing it like you want to do it. And everybody's just treating you right and everybody ain't throwing a wrench in your gears and all of that stuff. But when that happens, then is the test of love. When it happens and tries to mess up things in your life and all of that stuff, and praise God, and then you get to demonstrate your faith. You get to demonstrate, and once you start doing that and exercising that until you get it down to where it's no effort for you at all to love. You just love because you are love. You got it in you. The Bible says, as God is, so are we in this earth. But now that don't mean that we don't deal business and structure in our home. I'm teaching my two grandkids at 5, 6, and 8 on Tuesday nights how to have self-control. They don't even know it. I'm teaching them to be temperate. I'm teaching them not to get mad at one another. I'm not scolding them, and I'm using wisdom. And I'm teaching them how, I told them last night, I said, we can't play no checkers tonight. I said, because y'all not ready for me to jump you yet. They can't stand it when you jump them and they lose them. You know, they're both trying to get the crown, you know. Ain't we going after a crown? An incorruptible crown, ain't we? We're going after an incorruptible crown. Just because you have a few setbacks don't mean you're defeated. Just because things didn't go the way you had planned don't mean that God changed his mind. The Bible says the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. They are sealed, hallelujah. And we're supposed to labor to enter into that rest, lest a promise that we don't get. So I'm teaching my two grandkids, although I'm helping to mold their future. I'm helping them when they get up 10 and 12 and they begin to go out and get under pressure, that they won't break under pressure. They won't be moved as easily because I'm teaching them. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Now, we can think all Bible, 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 but that's not really. We got wisdom in us, although we ain't quoting the Bible sometimes. But we're using what we know is in line with the Bible, praise God, to bring structure to our lives, right? I know that self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And Aiden, when he don't get to be judge, he likes to be judge. You know, I want to be judge, Mama. I said, don't start that whining now. I'm judge. It's a game, man. We're playing a game, card game. And he's whining because he wants to be number one. He wants to start off first. He wants to be the first one. And he don't want to lose Johnny God. I told him, I said, look, if you're going to play checkers, somebody's going to lose. I mean, those ain't two of you can't win. The black or the red's going to win. Somebody. Whoever uses wisdom, thinks ahead, three or four moves, gets crowns, comes back after them, teaching Aubrey to go back after them. I'm playing myself. I'm playing through Aiden, through her. I'm having to tell her how to win, him how to win. And I mean, their clash, they're getting blocked. And I'm having to make a choice. Somebody got to lose a man so we'd move. See, sometimes what the enemy means for your bad, and you move the right way, you yield the right way, you say the right thing, it works to your good. Satan actually works for you if you would actually realize it. He works hard to destroy you, but no weapon that he has formed against you will prosper if you don't yield the wrong way to the weapon and give it to him. See, it's not when trouble comes to your house. Probably everybody in here, if I said, anybody got any trouble, everybody in here would probably raise their hands. And if they didn't, God gives us seasons, you know, of rest and nothing going on and all the bills are paid. It wouldn't be that they're lying. I mean, you know, God does. He brings you and he lets you get in the battle and he lets you sharpen your skills and he lets you use the Word of God, utilize the Word of God and your faith. And then he gives you a time of rest where everything's going good. You got $50 left over at the end of the week and you don't really need nothing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then here comes Monday. Bow! Tire blows out. Takes that 50. But he lets you go all the way to Monday. He give you all weekend. I praise God for times of rest. Because I mean, I've been in battles where I'm like, God, I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to explode. I can't take that phone ringing no more. I don't know what I'm going to do. Never let it come out of your mouth. Never let Satan see you sweat it in times like that, because when he does see you sweat it and he does see you yield, he cranks it up on you. I mean, he cranks it up. Most Christians don't believe he does it, but I don't care. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing this. See, the Bible says in James over there that you've got to know that the trying of your faith is working endurance in you, patience. Patience and endurance. You know what patience is? I looked at it and studied it one time. I thought, I wonder what patience means. Because I heard somebody tell me, don't ever ask God for patience because I did this. And I mean, you just don't do that. Don't ask God for patience because all hell's coming against your life. And I thought, daggum, I sure ain't going to ask God for that. So I went and studied it. I thought, I'm going to find out what patience means. How many knows that's a good idea for me and you to do? When we hear something that we don't know, We don't need to just swallow that lure. That's how I catch bass. Right? They don't bite one, I get another one. Preston drags snakes that long behind the boat back there. He catches big ones. He just dragging behind the boat. I don't like the worms because they're on the bottom. I like the action. I like the top water stuff. You know? How many knows that the enemy, we got to realize, you know, that he watches, he studies humans. He studied humans. He knows the nature of the flesh. But patience means staying in your trouble or your trial without complaining. Did you know that's what it means? When I studied that, I thought, that didn't say nothing like that guy said. And I said, okay, God, I need to endure like you, Lord. I thank you. I have your patience, Lord. You are the God of patience, Lord. And I want all of you I can get. I wasn't afraid of it. Why am I afraid of God? I didn't go break none of Travis's legs to teach him something. Right? People say that. Well, God, God, you know, God allowed you. God put that on you so he can teach you. There's nowhere in the Bible to back that kind of thinking up. You're going to believe that every hardship, if you believe that, you're going to believe that every hardship is God trying to teach you something. When the Bible plainly says that the Holy Spirit is your teacher. The Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying you can't learn things through trouble. God's helping us, because trouble is going to come to your house. If it ain't already there, it will, and it'll come again. But we got to occupy. We got to keep our minds stayed on the Lord so our hearts are in perfect peace. We got to hold on to the Word of God when it's not favorable to hold on to it. We got to keep our mind in check when things are, and you're growing and developing when that happens. So just remember that, hey, don't be afraid to ask God for more of him. I ain't never tore nothing up because I asked him for patience. I realized that person that told me that got mad and got in the flesh, and they didn't endure patience. Patience means you take in that trial and you stay in the right spirit and you don't get in the wrong spirit. Patience means you stay in a given state without complaining. If you believe that about patience, you need to renew your mind to the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Go find it in there. Go find it in the Bible. Look up the word patience. Look over in Romans over there where Paul said that God is the God of patience. He endures. God don't complain about us. He wouldn't hear it if they brought it to heaven. The Bible says that there's flames going up before the throne, and it's the praises of God's people. The prayers and praise, your prayer and praises is like flames going up to God. So while you're in trouble, and when trouble calls you, or when somebody else is in trouble, see, you can, once you get up on enduring hardship as a good soldier, you're going to stay in a right spirit. You're not going to complain. You're not going to get discouraged. You're not going to look at people's lives and let it determine what you're going to believe. See, we believe based on the Bible, and you've got to take it to yourself personally, and you've got to believe, let your thinking be based on the Bible. The Bible says victory's yours. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors. You know what more than enough is? End of the week, you get your paycheck, bless God, and all of a sudden, you got more than you thought you had. And then you're like, man, I got a raise. I got a $30. That's more than enough. That's an increase. Well, how many knows we're more than conquerors? We're not supposed to go into a trial and come out, and I mean steel flames coming off of us. We're supposed to go in that trial and say, glory to God, I know what's going on here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fire, bless God. They didn't bow. They just stood up in there, bless God, hallelujah. And the one as likened to the Son of Man showed up, praise God, and delivered him. Oh, man, Daniel didn't scream and raise the lion. No, man, they went out there and throwed him in there. That king couldn't sleep all night. He hated Daniel in there. And Daniel probably got his head laid on that lion, man. Now, lions at that time, if you study it, they were ferocious. They were man killers. And I mean, that a lot of people died going in that lion's den. I mean, that was a place of murder that they did. I mean, it wasn't just Daniel that went in there. There's probably bones all in there if they didn't eat all the bones. These were ferocious beasts. When they opened that up, they were waiting on them to get in there, and they died. But you know what? Not Daniel. Not the servant of the Most High God. Not us. We might go in the fire, bless God, but we know in whom we have put our trust in. We know in whom we are serving. And we are well satisfied that he don't lie. And he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Well, my body, I'm getting older. I am too, but my body ain't going to make me believe nothing. My body's not going to determine what I believe. I done found that Paul was in boils and near death, and the Bible says, and God raised him up. Hallelujah. When I go to the doctors, I don't put my trust in doctors. I'm not anti-doctor. I go to the doctor. Just got a good report of the day. They told me, they said, now, Mr. Weston, you got to watch what you eat, and you don't eat this and this and this. I mean, they didn't want me to eat nothing, Preston. Maybe you had a doctor that wanted you to eat a little bit of something. I started to look at him because he was a little hefty. He'd say, are you doing what you're telling me, man? Really? Are you telling me that, man? And so I come out there and I said, God, you give me 52 years. Look, God, and now I got brand new ones. I'm going to live to be 120, so I know I got 52 more years before I stop up again. Now, I don't just go eating everything, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to live in fear that I'm stopping up. Feed me an egg sandwich. They don't want me eating no kind of cheddar. No eggs, no bread. Teresa buys that. Right now, she's in good shape. We're buying everything, baby. Oh, I mean, we're stocked up on all that stuff that ain't good for you. And I'm enjoying every minute of it. Because she told me, she said, I've been thinking. I'm like, oh, my God. She said, we got till the first of the year. And I mean, things are going to change around here on this eating stuff. I'm telling you, it's going to change around. It's going to change. It makes you want to go in there and raid the cabinet when you hear that. Oh, my God, I'm going to get full, so I'll have the first 3 weeks, I'll have some reserve. But she goes, that wheat bread. Good Lord, a dog can't chew that in two. Try to eat an egg sandwich, man, you have to get a knife, gnaw it in two, cut it in two where you can, you know, get it kind of soggy where you can chew it up. That's the way I see it anyway. But anyhow, he wants to do the neck thing. You know, see if, we better check it, you know, I mean, because, you know, most cases they stop, but, you know, just stop. And I'm thinking, I'm not hearing that report. He's saying it. I know his experience is that. He's seen it happen, but that's not mine. You got to do that. That's not mine. That's not my inheritance. Long, satisfied life will he show you, not me, you. That's mine, and I done took it, and I meditate on it. And when my body tells me something, I come back out of my mouth, and I say, not long, satisfied, not long, crippled, not long, stopped up, can't breathe, can't walk, wheelchair. I mean, I'm coming again. Don't the Bible say everything that has a name has the vow with the name of Jesus? What do we think that is? In somebody else? No, that's for us. So I got a call a week later. Is this Mr. Weston? I said, yep, this is him. Now, I'm all the way expecting to hear a good report. I'm not in there timid with it. Remember what we just read? God didn't give you a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. See, when we do these things, we're walking in and tapping into the supernatural. We are supernatural beings, but we can walk carnal and not experience the supernatural, although we are supernatural beings. Supernatural has to respond to the supernatural. Well, you got a phone call. We got your results from your sonogram. It's this artery in my neck, you know. My doctor told me, he said, if that didn't stops up, you're going to see your maker. I said, I'm ready. Glory to God. Teresa will make it, but glory to God, if I get wings and get out of here, don't you try to pray me back. You got it? Because if I get back down here and I'm not walking in the supernatural, man, y'all are in trouble. Because I done made it one time, and I know I can do it again. So she said, it's exactly the same way it was when you had the surgery. I mean, exactly the same way. It ain't non-stop stuff. It can't. I keep my word on it, bless God. Long, satisfied life will he show me. And you know, and people have challenged me, and I'm going to close with this. Because I know we all got to work tomorrow. But we'll work good tomorrow. We'll enjoy the works of our hands tomorrow. Glory to God, that's what the Bible says we will. We'll enjoy the works. It says everything we do will prosper in Psalms 1. I didn't give it to bed. But you know what? See, I just want to encourage you. You know, don't be rocked in trouble. When trouble comes, it's going to make you look bad, sound bad. Trouble always gives you an image. You know, somebody don't pay me garage door, good Lord, it's not going to be good. You know, somebody says something about me over here pastoring. You wouldn't think people would, you know, but amen. Just what it is. Y'all cat sacrificers here, did you hear that one? I sacrificed cats on the altar, Preston. That was a rumor down there. It's one that didn't go in the newspaper. I'm telling God about it. God said, why are you whining? Why are you? He said, it's free advertisement. He said, when people are slandering you, let it be advertisement. He said, they're just making you known. That's all. He said, then my glory's going to show up in your life and they're going to want to know you. They're going to want to be around you. They're going to come to your church. And you know, we let up a lot of ministries around here. None of them had food. And they're like, why are you doing all that food stuff for? I don't know. Ask your father if he's yours. I didn't come up with it. He did. Why do you want all them buildings for? I said, I don't know. Ask your father. If he's yours, he's the one that knows. I don't know why I desire these things, but all I know is it's him that works in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure, according to the Bible. I said, I have desires to like you. I did like him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we thank you, Father God.